This is an ABC podcast.
This is the first time in a rather long time where we've sat in an actual cinema to watch an actual movie. So we're going in to get COVID and to watch The New Mutants, Mr. Hogan. Are you excited?
Well, I'm excited for the fact that it seems like I haven't been to a movie for about 10 years. Funny story, so I rang my doctor the other day because I had some tests done because of old man stuff and wanted to get the results. And he's like, Andrew, you had those tests done back in February. And I'm like,
I've just come back for you to put the rubber glove on one more time, doctor.
I'm just like, February, no. Time has no meaning at the moment. It really doesn't. It's just so weird. But yes, New Mutants. I know literally nothing about this.
One of the joys of the X-Men universe in the comics is it's set at a school. So at any time, you can have a new class of kids come through and create an instant new team. And they've done that a bunch of times. Mm. This is the first time they went whole hog and said, all right, brand new class, brand new characters, all arriving at once. Mm. So created by Chris Claremont, who is one of the great X-Men writers, and artist Bob McLeod, and just a new bunch of mutants at Xavier's school come through and have to learn to be a team and learn to get on and learn each other's powers.
Am I right in assuming, because I haven't even seen a trailer for this. This is bizarre for me because I love spoilers. You know how much I love spoilers. Are they kids? Are they? Because this looks like Teen Titans for Marvel.
Very much like that. It's the new class of X-Men coming through, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds. The lineup in that first comic was a guy who was a human rocket, a girl who was a werewolf.
I'm a human rocket if I eat the wrong food. That just goes without saying.
One of them is a teleporter. One of them has the ability to make a mirage of your fears appear in front of you. Mm-hmm. One of them is a technologically organic alien. One of them has a language facility. That's kind of the original setup.
One of them's Google Translate. That's not even a superpower. My phone can do that.
Well, look, it was in the late 80s. It was very much a superpower. That one. But it was fascinating because he was the non-combatant. He was the one who'd stay back and figure stuff out.
Yeah, fair enough, because if your superpower is translating languages, you're not exactly going to be able to punch on. Like, those two things don't go together. Look, your wife speaks two languages. Can she punch on?
She speaks three, and yes, she can punch on.
That was probably a bad example, wasn't it? Because she's got to put up with you. Yeah, that's true.
My understanding is this is not set in the school at all. It's kind of very much that initial cast, but it's set in an insane asylum with teenagers, so it's kind of Breakfast Club in an asylum with mutant powers.
That is my nightmare. That's like the superpower guy made my nightmare, because I've almost got a teenager in my house. And I tell you what, Captain Angst Features has really arisen recently.
All reviews thus far is that this is a really bad film.
Mm, yeah, the irony, is it Maisie Williams, who's in the film, who tweeted a tweet that said how bad it was? And she's like, yeah, you better all go and see this thing.
So I'm kind of looking forward to it in a bad way. I think it is going to be terrible, partly because I think they've taken it way, way away from the comic and its antecedents. If they'd said it at the Xavier School, it'd have all sorts of good stuff about it, but I think they've moved it far away from that so they don't have to pay for other characters they don't own, and it's just going to be a hot mess.
It's this confusing thing about the Marvel characters, isn't it? The whole X-Men at the different studio. When it ends up impacting on the creative process is when things don't work. When you've got lawyers sitting around saying you can use him, you can't use him, and if you use him, it'll cost you this much money, then you mess with the creative process. And if you mess with the creative process, you get Justice League, but it doesn't matter because we're getting Zack Snyder's Justice League, so I don't give three shits.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who are playing Hogan Bingo, when how long would he say the words Snyder Cut? It has just finally happened.
Hey, funny story before we go in. Remember I mentioned last episode that my phone clearly needed a new battery because it was super, super dodgy. So my wife's phone also needed one as well. Hers wasn't holding charge and it would turn off when it was on 20% and all of those sort of things. And so I took her phone into a little kiosk, little chaps who do these things, and it was quite cheap. It was $60-odd for a new iPhone 6 battery. And the guy jumped into the settings and went to the battery section. I'd forgotten that you could do that. And I said, oh, mate, do it for mine. And he got on mine, and he went, and he looked at me, and he went, how does this thing even turn on? He literally couldn't believe that it actually turned on, because I keep it plugged into charge all day at work and all night at home. The battery had less than 50% of its full capacity available. So I got a brand new screen because I had a crack. I got a brand new battery and it's very flash.
You've also bought yourself a rather ridiculous toy.
Oh, yes. I couldn't believe I found at a local department store the 30th anniversary 1989 Batmobile in Lego. It is 3,200 pieces and clearly the most expensive Lego I've ever bought. Haven't started to make it yet. That's tomorrow's project.
What's your estimation of time for arrival of the completed Lego kit?
Okay, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to firstly sleep until noon because I'm a lazy bugger. I'm going to start making it after filling my face with food. After an hour, I'm going to get sick of that and watch some telly because I'm home alone. Then I'm going to go back to it, get sick of it again, and then say this shit's too hard and not touch it until, say, Sunday.
And then your son will start building it for you.
Yeah, exactly. You can see exactly where this is going. Yeah, 3 o'clock school, home time will happen and it'll be Clark. On the clock, mate, on the clock.
The problem always is with the giant Legos is the first, I don't know, 10, 20 hours of building look nothing like the final product. It's yeah. Weird blobs of stuff you're building for internal support.
Yeah, and the thing is, the good angle I've got on Clark, though, the big leverage I've got, is that he started to do chores for money. But he's been bargaining. The guy's a bloody negotiator.
Where does he get that from, I wonder?
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, so he's like, Dad, if I split firewood, can I get paid? I went, yeah, you totally can get paid because I hate splitting firewood. He goes, $2 a log? I went, not $2 a log. I said, $2 a wheelbarrow load, buddy, $2 a log. So he accepted $2 a wheelbarrow load. And every day after school, he has split a wheelbarrow load of wood and he's worked out how many days he will have to do that before he can buy the new Star Wars Squadron game on his PS4. He's got it down to the day.
Let's go and watch some mutants, shall we?
Mutant on.
It's important we find out your power, so we can help you get better. Would anyone like to share their first time? Rain?
I was 13. I thought it was a dream.
Sam?
I started panicking. People got hurt.
Roberto?
My girlfriend had burned her.
Ileana?
I killed 18 men.
I don't think we're here to get better.
That was not good in any particular way at all, was it? The only thing I found any great joy from in that whole movie was looking for the fan service. And there were little tiny bits of fan service in there. Mr. Sinister's symbol turns up in it.
I don't know who that is.
He's a Marvel bad guy.
No, I don't want to know. What are you explaining for? Do I look like I want to know? So I got none of that. So therefore the fan service was meaningless to me. Look, it started off as The Breakfast Club with powers. Then it turned into just a classic teen horror film. It was just so run-of-the-mill. At no point did the director or the screenwriter take a chance. It would have been better directed by David Boone instead of the Boone that it was directed by. No one outside of Australia will get that. But yeah, it didn't take any chances. The actors didn't take any risks. The story was essentially non-existent in terms of the actual narrative.
Yeah, bunch of teenage mutants are trapped in an asylum. Mm. That's kind of it. That's all that happens in the whole thing.
It's so generic. They could have been not Marvel characters. And here's the test. They could have been not characters from comic book and it would have made no difference to the story. And that's where I hate adaptations that waste the source material. Then in that case, make an original film. Stop taking a comic book and then making a generic movie that you could have made with other characters. I think that's a valid criticism of Birds of Prey, that it didn't have to be the Birds of Prey characters. It could have been any original characters and it would have been the same story. So, I didn't get the fan service. I was bored out of my brains. Everybody's terrible accents just shit me to tears.
Look, the only actor in that who I will rate at all is Maisie Williams, who had kind of a soft Scottish burr to her voice.
She was Irish Catholic, dude.
No, she's Scottish.
Well, it was terrible. Are you serious?
Rain is a Scottish character. Absolutely.
That's even worse then. She's like, just don't get English people to try and do a Scottish accent. Do you know what exists in Scotland? Okay, I'll tell you what exists. This was
Scottish people who can do an accent?
This will surprise Hollywood. Scottish people exist in Scotland. And that drives me nuts when they get an actor. And you know, whenever she shouted, the accent disappears and she dropped back to her American sort of accent.
Yes,
and,
yes. Which is the mid-Atlantic accent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, which every English actor has to do.
And the woman doing the Russian character playing Ileana, awful. Just an awful character, not really thought out properly. Her acting was really second rate. I didn't mind Sam because he was just an American playing an American, and I thought he did okay. But just about everyone else I thought was fairly awful.
Well, he had character development. You understood why he was there. Rich South American dude, why was he there? We got backstory for one of them, maybe two, because we know Rain's story because we saw it. But it was a bit like Suicide Squad. It was like they couldn't be bothered explaining everybody because too complicated. And I have no idea what any of their powers really were. Like, I literally don't. It was just so confusing.
If the whole point of being in the asylum is to figure out their powers and to make them safe, and that's said in the first 10 minutes of the film, if the whole point of it is that, why do they never actually define who's got what power for the sake of the audience?
Yeah, exactly. I was the first 20 minutes, half an hour in, and I'm like, I still don't know who can do what. And that's really important in an ensemble superhero film, is to get that over with quickly, you know, just so we know what everybody can do. And then we can be ready when you set up a scene. You can be like, oh, fire dude might get out of it like this.
Flying person can go over there and do that.
Yeah, and person who can teleport probably could have just got out of there really easily.
Yeah, see, that was the thing, is that they just kept having these big, fat logic holes in there. Like, the teleporting girl gets locked into a padded room. How do you lock a teleporter into a padded room?
Yeah.
Nobody uses their powers at an appropriate moment until the very end, when they all suddenly figure out, well, maybe, seeing as I've got a glowing sword, I should hit something with it.
Yeah, that's right. And the glowing sword, and does it sometimes glow? And
see, that was pure fan service. The sword, the armor down the arm, Limbo, the little dragon, all pure fan service for Marvel fans of exactly my age. But here's the thing, it's completely missed you, and so therefore it's going to miss 90% of the audience.
Oh yeah, none of the kids are going to want to go and see that. In fact, it would have actually been better had they stuck with Angsty Breakfast Club. That would have at least been consistent, because the film just shifts, and you know the third act's going to be a great big battle with, you know, them versus Yogi the Bear, and it just didn't work on any level. Like, it wasn't awful, I just don't understand why it exists. I do, however, think maybe it exists because Marilyn Manson really, really wanted to be in a movie, and so he got to voice some, I don't know what they were.
Some horrible, spooky, tall characters. They're kind of a Slender Man with the fangs type characters.
A bit like Jared Leto's Joker without eyes sort of thing. And they actually weren't that scary.
You know what they're like? They're a bit like one of the characters out of Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah, well, they are. And I'm pretty certain they weren't Doug Jones. No, does that say Smiling Man is Dustin? Andrew doesn't have his glasses on, so he can't read it.
Keimer.
Yeah, so that's very disappointing, isn't it? It's even more disappointing. That film's just lost an entire star for not having Doug Jones play the creepy bendy people.
The guy doing the creepy bendy people, he was good. He did creepy bendy very well, I thought.
Yeah, his remit was pretty limited, though. I mean, Booney's come in there and gone, okay, you're a creepy bendy man. I need you to be creepy, and you might want to write this down, bendy. And Dustin's gone, hang on, whoa, slow down. Slow down, champion. Okay, creepy and bendy. Right, okay, and I've got to do it lots of times. Yeah, and I bet he practiced that. It's a bit like, you know, playing a weeping angel in Doctor Who, isn't it? It's a one-trick pony.
There's so many times when people had an obvious out by using their power and then didn't do it, and it just shoots me to tears. I'm sorry, they're 16, they're young, but they're not stupid.
So there was no stakes in it. That was the thing. There was at no point did I ultimately care whether any of them lived or died, because they oscillated from annoying me to me literally not caring that I was in a cinema. I just didn't. And the other thing is the arrogance of making films that look like they're trying to set up a franchise. That really irks, because
do the first one damn well and the franchise will come.
Yeah. The setup at the end, they all walked into the sunset, Seven Samurai style, to fight as a team called the New Mutants, which only comes up on the screen at the end of the film in case we're too stupid to realise what's happening. Well, the thing is, that ain't getting a sequel, is it? No chance.
No.
If that was on television, I'd probably flick over and watch the footy instead, even if Collingwood were playing or something awful like that. That's about where I'd rate that one. So I'm not going to talk stars, because people worked hard to make that movie. They failed, but they worked hard.